Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy to have you along for Local Matters for this Friday. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. Good afternoon, Pastor Ron.
Good afternoon, Dwight. I tell you what, we look so forward to these Friday programs. Isn't it awesome that we get to, man, we get so involved in some of these discussions. The time just seems like it just absolutely flies by.
We look up and it just said, really? Is it over? Really?
Yeah.
And we've kind of gone with the title, Unpacking Truth.
Yeah, man.
And we're looking, and I've enjoyed this thoroughly as we look at the scriptures and the Word of God, maybe some that are familiar, some that aren't, and really just unpack those verses or unpack those segments and walk through them line upon line, precept upon precept, and maybe hopefully get some new understanding, new meaning, and hopefully our listeners say, well, I've never thought about that, never seen it that way before, just some insight into the Word of God, which is always wonderful.
And man, we've been doing that for several different weeks now on different scriptures, and I'll tell you what, we've been unpacking some truth, haven't we? I had a fellow tell me the other day he enjoyed listening to us so much, and he really garnered a lot of information, revelation from what we're talking about. So we enjoy doing it, and I know you've got some good stuff for us to unpack today, Dwight.
Right. We got some stuff we're going to unpack. We're going to call the next couple of shows Unpacking the End of the Age.
Mm-hmm.
Unpacking the End of the Age. Now, I'll sit here and I'll just tell you very transparently, I don't hold myself out to be a scholar or a scholar as far as just end time prophecy is concerned. I've read a lot about it, read obviously the Bible, read other books and that sort of thing. And I think we could say that probably not all of the church family, the kingdom of God, sees the sequence of events in the same way.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's some difference in the ways people see certain parts of this thing. But two things we do know. We know that Jesus is coming back.
Yes.
And we do know that regardless of the sequence of events, God will take care of his people.
There you go. We do that. And, you know, Dwight, it's so funny. So many people that I've led to the Lord over the years and just Christians that I've talked with, you know, you're talking about people's different perspective on end time events and things. It's amazing at how many newborn Christians start at the book of Revelation.
Which might not be, it's all you know, good, but that
oh
might not
gosh,
be the best
I'll
part.
Tell you, you know, even in my Bible school classes, I tell you, the study of end time events is called eschatology, and I just didn't enjoy, that was one of my least favorite classes because there's so many variables to it that you can't really pin a lot of things, and there's some immutable truths in there. You know, we do know the Lord's coming back, and even the Jesus said the angels don't know. He doesn't know. The Father is really the only one that knows when he's coming back, and so you know. But I think it's good that we talk about it, especially in the culture that we're in. You know, Dwight, there's a mystery that happens that's happening even as we speak, even as we are going in our culture, called the mystery of iniquity. And 2 Thessalonians brings this out in regard to the return of the Lord about how the mystery of iniquity is working even now. And, of course, that was when Paul wrote to the church at Thessalonica, you know. And so we know that if it was working then, the mystery of iniquity is working now. And the mystery of iniquity is intriguing to me, because not to want to be involved with it, but to want to understand what is happening. And what is happening, it's almost like that the times have to be full. You know, it's like a woman having a child. There's a time that child will come, and it won't come before then. It comes at that time. And so that's what's happening here with the Lord. And as we look at the end of the ages and the end times coming, one of the things that the church has that's such a comfort is the grace of God. You know, we have the grace and the mercy of God. It is available to the whole world. Titus says the grace that brings salvation has appeared unto all men. But obviously we know all men aren't saved. We know that everyone's not saved. We know that reconciliation is presented to all men, but not all men are regenerated.
God loves us too much not to give us a choice.
Yes, there you go.
Yeah,
and I mean,
he loves us too much.
And so the opportunity is available. And as we see the end of the age coming, we see this mystery of iniquity working. I mean, working like feverishly. If you have any spiritual adept to you at all, the general perversion that's going on in culture, in society, there's no boundaries, there's no limits. There's no identity of even male or female. It's gotten to the point, you know, that we don't even, we're trying to do away with gender, or our culture's trying to do away with gender. And obviously the scripture says that male and female God created, you know, and so the mystery of iniquity is simply, and as simple as I can put it, it's basically taking what God says and diminishing it so that it doesn't mean anything. That's taking good. What God says, and or even the view and opinion of God, making it so that people see God as a mean, hateful, angry, wrathful, torturing, tormenting God. And that's obviously what the devil wants to present to people, so they won't accept his grace, so they won't accept his love. And ultimately, as a result of not accepting it, we see the mystery of iniquity working.
You know, by the way, we're happy to have you with us this afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're unpacking truth, and we're beginning to unpack the end of the age. Certainly, you know, the Bible talks about, you know, I love the phrase, there's so many ways we can go here. Wow. Mm-hmm. You know, use that phrase, fullness of time. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, in when Jesus was born, the first one on the earth.
Yes.
You know, when Jesus came in human flesh, God incarnate, all man without ceasing to be God. There's a phrase in that part of Scripture that in the fullness of time.
Yeah.
So now in the fullness of time, he came the first time. Fullness of time, he'll come the second time. And certainly the Bible gives us signs and things that say you can look for this. And we're seeing that, as you talked
obviously.
About so well. We're seeing that so well. Most people believe that the next event that will happen as it relates to that is the thing that is typically called the rapture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the rapture. What is the rapture? First of all, what is that?
Well, you know, Dwight, as we're talking about this mystery of iniquity, and the reason I bring this up is because 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 brings this out clearly, that the mystery of iniquity that's working is leading up to this point. And I think I'm so glad you brought that out about the fullness of time, because we are coming into, if we're not already there, at the fullness of the time of the Gentiles. And the fullness of the time of the Gentiles is when, I don't know how to describe it other than just a practical term, there's going to be a grace shift that happens. There will be a shift that happens in the realm of the Spirit. And at that time, I think Jesus called it in Matthew 24, he called it the beginning of sorrows. Now, I believe our nation and the world has actually been in the beginning of sorrows for many years. And the beginning of sorrows is when, you know, we have massive earthquakes and hurricanes like we've seen, and just a lot of natural disasters, which ignorantly people blame those on God, and they don't understand that we're coming into the fullness of time when the birth pangs on the earth are what's creating that. It's not God saying, well, you know, this city is a worse sinful city than the next city, and I'm going to destroy this city and save this city, because we have the same problems here in our local region that any other region has. They may not be as prevalent. They may not be as out in the open, but they're the same sin issues. So God would be unjust to destroy one city. He even told Abraham, he said, I won't destroy Sodom and Gomorrah if I can find 10 righteous people. We know there's 10 righteous people in every city. So these things aren't happening because of necessarily of God pointing his finger. They're happening because we're coming to the end of the age. We're coming to the fullness of the birth pangs. We're coming to the time when, like a woman having a child, those birth contractions begin to happen so rapidly and so frequently that baby's going to be born. And in this case, the baby that's going to be born is the rapture, the coming of the Lord, the rapture of the church, the second coming of the Lord. And when we talk about the rapture of the church, Dwight, we're talking about the church being protected and lifted off the earth at a time when you know, it's just going to be, things are going to be rough. I never dreamed, Dwight, in my lifetime that I would see what I have seen happen in the nation, in our world in the last 10 years. When I was ready to die and go home to be the Lord as an older man, but I never dreamed I would see things that I'm seeing so prevalent and so boldly. And, you know, Peter tells us about that. He says, the perverted people will say, where is the promise of his coming? Where is the promise of this that you all keep talking about? Where's the promise? We've continued life just like we ever since our fathers, our grandfathers, our great-grandfathers have lived life. And that's the deception, to think that the rapture of the church is never going to happen, but it is going to happen because we have precedent. We have Old Testament scripture. We have all through the Word of God where God ultimately delivered His people. He delivered us.
And so let's talk about then a little bit more about the rapture, because that word per se, as I understand, does not, we don't see that word in the Bible mm-mm. per se, but it is a catching away.
Yes.
And you touched a little bit. So as we're talking about the rapture, who will be raptured? What specifically happens, and who will take part in that, or who will be raptured?
Yeah, and you know, Dwight, that is where really I refer to this as deep calling unto deep.
Yeah.
You know, if you are a born-again Christian and you have the life of God on the inside of you, the Spirit of God comes and lives in you. And if you're not a Christian, it's so simple. I mean, you may not believe that Jesus is Lord, but do some research, find out. Historically, it's been proven that He was on the earth, that He walked on the earth. And from a biblical, spiritual, and historical standpoint, it's proven that He was alive on the earth. And Jesus Himself said, "I am the Son of God." And so people would say a lot of times, well, Jesus was a good man, He was a prophet, but He wasn't the Son of God. Well, good men and good prophets don't lie.
No.
So Jesus would have been lying if He said He was the Son of God. So believing that Jesus was the Son of God, that He died for us, receiving Jesus as the Lord of your life, simply means that you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead and paid the penalty, if you would, for the sin of all mankind. You receive Christ into your life. You just say, "Lord, I believe in You. I don't understand all this, but I believe that You've been raised from the dead, and I accept You as my Lord and Savior." And that light, Dwight, His Spirit comes and lives within us. At that point, His Spirit, we become one with Him. And when the Lord comes back, that one that we are with Him is going to be so attracted to Him that we're going to be actually lift off the ground to be with Him.
Yeah.
And
we'll meet Him in the air.
We'll meet Him in the air. That's what the Scripture says. And so the rapture of the church is coming, and it's going to happen for those that have accepted Christ into their life and have that Spirit, the Spirit of God within them.
We got so much more to talk about.
Gosh.
And when we come back, I want us to talk about when the church, the body of Christ, is raptured, what happens next to them while they're in the heaven, you know, the bema, the awards mm-hmm. banquet. And then what about the folks who don't get raptured?
Mm-hmm.
And then the rest of the carrying out of all that happens there. So much ground to cover.
Wow.
And we're going to take a little break back in a moment. Happy to have you with us on Local Matters.
What's so important about shopping with locally owned businesses?
When you shop local, your hard-earned dollars stay here in the community, helping to benefit your friends and neighbors, local schools, roads, and all aspects of community life.
But what happens to my money if I spend it online or at a national chain store?
In most cases, the profits go far away, out of state, corporate headquarters, or even overseas.
It doesn't take any extra effort to shop local. Office Mart on South Jefferson and Cookeville is your locally owned office furniture and supply store. For over 35 years, they've been proud to serve businesses in the Upper Cumberland with quality and value. You get real customer service too. And unlike shopping online, you can actually see and try out the large inventory of office furniture in their showroom. And when it's delivered, it's not a box on your step. They're glad to install and set up everything. Office Mart. There's no other locally owned office store in the region. South Jefferson Avenue across from Hardee's. Shop local at Office Mart.
We're back on Local Matters on a Friday afternoon. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen of Living Hope Church. We're unpacking truth, scriptures from the Word of God, teaching from God's Word. And the truth that we're unpacking this particular day and for the next couple of shows, we're unpacking the truth regarding the end of the age. And we've talked about the signs. We've talked about the spirit of iniquity. We've talked about what's going on in the world and in our culture, and talked a little bit about this matter of the rapture, when we'll be taken away, we'll be lifted up, we'll be caught up in the air to be with Jesus. Now, that's for the body of Christ, the born again, the saved, the people that have Jesus in their heart. And I appreciate the fact, Pastor, that you told people how to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, and God, as I said earlier, loves us too much not to give us a choice.
Yes.
It's a matter of believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, and calling on the name of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And I would encourage anybody who has done
Amen.
That as a Holy Spirit, to just do it. Right
yes.
there in your car, in your
yep.
place of business, in your home. You know, I pray with people all the time. I got saved in different places, in
yep.
cornfields and wherever
mm-hmm.
else. So that's it. But then those folks will be raptured. Now, after this takes place, the catching away, if you will, of the church, there's a big celebration that happens in
yeah.
heaven for those folks. Talk about that.
You know, Dwight, the thing that I feel in my heart I need to say, though,
okay.
is... And I will talk about that. But, you know, we have to look back at Noah.
Because Jesus said, as in the days of Noah, so shall be the coming of the Son of Man.
Yeah.
And so when we look at back at Noah, we have to realize there were several things going on there. I mean, corruption on the earth had gotten so bad. The scripture says the violence, the corruption had gotten so bad, and that God told Noah to build an ark. Well, you know, the thing that I think a lot of people have a struggle with, which I don't particularly, this is not a velvety thing for me. This is not a smooth, easy thing for me, because I know there will be a time when things will come to an end. I love God so much, and I love people, and I love life, and I want people to enjoy life. But you know, Dwight, there comes a time when that baby's going to be born. There comes a time when a woman, you know, you can have the greatness of the seed being conceived. You can have the greatness of watching the baby grow and all the warm, fuzzy things you get. But there comes a time when that baby's going to be born.
Yeah.
And so when it was time for Noah to get into that ark, the scripture says the Lord closed the door.
Yeah.
And the earth was covered with people.
Yeah.
And that's something
Who
had a choice.
Noah preached for hundreds of years.
Noah preached righteousness to the people, and they had a choice. And so we have to look at this as the same thing as in the days of Noah. The rapture of the church is going to be a great time of tribulation for people that are on the earth. But people that are raptured, it's going to be a 7-year party. I mean, we're going to celebrate. We're going to, you know, the believer in Christ. 1 Corinthians 5 tells us that the believer in Christ will go before the Burma seat of Christ. It's the judgment seat of Christ. And what that place is going to be for the believer is a place of reward for what they've done for the Lord.
Yeah.
What they've done in His name. I mean, all of us can do things that are not done, the scripture says in 1 Corinthians that it's wood, hay, stubble, and all that will be burned up. You know, you can do a lot of good things, but they're not be in the name of the Lord. Those things will be burned up. But what we've done in His name and for Him, there will be an eternal reward. And somebody asked me, so, well, you're in heaven. Why are you going to need an eternal reward? Well, think about this. You're going to be in heaven with the King of the universe, the King of kings, the Lord of lords, the Master of masters, God Himself. And those rewards, I'm convinced, will be things that we will offer to Him.
Yeah.
That we will love Him and show His appreciation. Yes. Present them to Him. And
crowns are called.
Crowns, yes, crowns.
Maybe symbolic, maybe literal,
yes.
Who knows? But would you agree that what we receive at the Bema, those who are raptured, we receive those crowns, then we present them to Christ and say, here's what I, because of what you did for me, here's what I was able to do, and present our life's work for Him back to Him.
Yes.
I get goosebumps, man, right now. Just think, we're presenting to Him what we did after He did what He did for us.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it, Dwight. And, you know, and that's the joy, really, of following the Lord and knowing that you will be with Him forever, and you'll be in that place of heaven, and you'll enjoy all those rewards. I know the Lord enough to know that when we get to heaven, we're still going to be bearing fruit, because Jesus said, herein is my Father glorified that you bear much fruit. It's not going to stop when we go to heaven. There's going to be things that will be going on that we'll be doing.
You know, I think about that. I'm sitting here thinking about my grandmother. She was about to pass, be with the Lord when she was 90 years old, and we're all sitting by her bed, and she hadn't communicated with us for hours and hours. And Pastor Ron, she opened her eyes. We're right there. She goes, oh. It's beautiful. And I said, Marty, what's beautiful? He said, oh, it's bright. It's so beautiful. And then, Pastor Ron, she started calling names of people who had already passed. My mother, her daughter, had already went to be with the Lord. She says, oh, there's Marjorie Helen. She looks so good. There's Edgar. That was her husband. She said, oh, he looks great. Miss Presswood, she called that
praise
her name.
God.
She said he was a friend of hers who just went to be with the Lord a couple months before. So I'm thinking, what in the world is she seeing?
Mm-hmm.
You know, you know, when we think about it, we're going to be there, yes, for the Bema, yes, to get through, but we're going to be there forever,
yes,
for eternity. I don't know, you know, and heaven's not going to be boring.
Yes.
I mean, you know, it's not going to be, I don't know what all it's going to entail, but it'll be great.
it is going to be great. I'm looking forward to it, aren't you?
Yeah, I really am. The older I get, man, I really am. I really am. Well, by the way, we're glad you're with us on this Friday afternoon. This is Local Matters. I'm your host, Dwight Henry, along with Pastor Ron Allen. We're unpacking truth. The truth we're unpacking from the Word of God this week has to do with the end of the age, and we're talking about the rapture. We've talked about what out to folks who go up with Christ in the rapture. There'll be, as Pastor Ron said, a 7-year party. We'll get our crowns that we've earned since Christ saved us. We'll present those to Him. But then there's the matter, Pastor Ron, of those folks who will not be raptured, mm-hmm. according to your study of the Bible, and what will they endure while we're having the party?
Well, the of course, we know, and this is where, you know, this gets kind of touchy in a lot of ways, but
not everybody sees this.
Not
the
everybody
same way.
Sees it the same way. Some people think the church will be raptured at the beginning of the Great Tribulation. Some people think at the middle of the Great Tribulation. Some people think we'll go through the Great Tribulation.
And some people say no rapture.
Yeah, and some people say no rapture.
I like what you said in church last week about your pan theology.
Yeah.
You're a pan. Some are pre, some are mid, some are post theology. But you have a pan theory about it. And what's that?
That it'll all pan out in the end.
It will. And God will take care of His people.
He will take. But the thing that I can assure us all of is that God will deliver us. God will deliver His people. But Dwight, you know, there will be people on the earth that will have to endure the reign of the Antichrist. And see, that's where the mystery of iniquity comes in that we need to be aware of today, because as the mystery of iniquity works and works and works, and we begin to see all these loose standards, all these perversions of sexuality, the perversion of people's minds about good and evil, as we begin to see that people can't discern, they can't have no common sense. We'd just say they just don't have common sense. I mean, you can go down to the barn and see that two bulls aren't hooked up, or two roosters aren't crowing together. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You can go down to the barn and see simple things. But the thing that we have to realize is that there are people that are so blinded to that they can't discern that. And they will be on the earth during the reign of the spirit of Antichrist. But see, the mystery and the spirit of iniquity is opening the door, so to speak, is opening the door for the spirit of Antichrist, because you can't agree and you can't cooperate with the spirit of iniquity and not resist God.
Yeah.
And the spirit of Antichrist just simply means against Christ.
Yeah.
Against the Anointed One, against the fact that Jesus was the Son of God, that He came, that He was raised from. Well, people say, I think Jesus was a great guy. I think Jesus is great. I go to church. But see, there's a difference between recognizing the spirit of iniquity and the spirit of God. The spirit of the mystery of iniquity that's working is where people, it's actually started in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve, where they decided what they wanted to do. They decided what was good and what was evil. The tree of the knowledge, it was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They not only decided something evil, they decided something good.
Yeah.
See, we can't even say, and people say, well, you shouldn't judge. Well, they're absolutely right. We're not even allowed by scriptures for in our own thoughts and minds and feelings, if we're going to abide in the glory of God, to judge even what is good without Him saying that it's good. That's the glory of God, is what He says is good, what He says is right, what He says is worthy, what He says is valuable. And if you look at God, it's very simple to see the things that are good and valuable. You know, integrity, love, forgiveness, walking with people that you may even disagree with, but not being a hate, not being a hater, but being a love person. But there are a people, Dwight, that will endure that. Now, I have the personal opinion, which people vary in this, but I really feel like people will be able to be saved during the tribulation.
Yeah.
You know,
now, the tribulation is that period we believe is 7 years long.
Great tribulation, yeah.
The great tribulation,
mm-hmm.
7 years long, all hell breaks loose on the earth. There's a figure that rises, they call the Antichrist,
mm-hmm.
and he is basically, you know, all this globalist discussion.
Yes.
All this, let's come together as one world government. Let's do all this is feeding into that we hear right now.
Yeah.
And so, and then all this war goes on and all this chaos, and here rises this figure, the Antichrist, and he says, hey, you know, you leave it up to me and I'll bring peace to the whole world. And all of a sudden he's in charge, and the tribulation's happening. And I believe, Pastor Ron, if memory serves, 2/3 of the people on the earth will be killed.
Yes.
Yeah, during that
period of time.
But there will be some preaching the gospel,
yes.
and I don't disagree at all, but it will be difficult, because
uh-huh.
there's a mark. To do business, you have to take the mark of the beast.
And if you don't, then the Antichrist has a tag on your head. You'll either have to receive the mark of the beast, which the scripture says all buying and selling will be by that mark, and or you will have to die for your faith.
Man, has this gone by quick.
It really has. We are so happy that you're along with us every week at this time for Local Matters as we unpack truth. And next week, same time, we're going to unpack truth as it relates to the end of the age. Join us next week for Local Matters.